Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Word from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is my privilege and joy to meet you on Friday in our Fellowship of Learner, a time when we gather together and we receive from the very heart of God the truth that will enlighten us, enrich us, and cause us to grow spiritually, excuse me, in our relationship with the living God. I am just rejoicing in the fact that God has made a way that no matter where we are, we can be together. So I thank God for your patience, and I thank him for your presence here this morning. And I pray that you have indulged yourself in the Word of God, so that your heart might receive what he wants to download in us this morning. Some truths that take us to that come up hither place. Some truths that bring us side by side the living God in intimacy and in experiencing his very presence, not in an event or a particular time or set aside space for devotion of worship, but one where we walk with him humbly every day, every moment, sensing the warmth of his presence. One of the scriptures that we say, and may the Lord say, shine upon you. And when that shining upon you is turned towards you and radiating into your space, into your sphere of breathing and of living, this wonderful warmth, love that surpasses any knowledge that we could ever have or any understanding we could come to on our own. And so when that faith shines upon us, it brings about a peace, a quiet confidence, I believe they share in the book on Wednesday night, that this walking with God in so close proximity to him, that we have this divine, wonderful, quiet confidence, a confidence that comes from being and not just doing, but goes beyond the doing, and God goes beyond the knowing. And it has brought us to a place where we have become because of the proximity we are to a holy God, the great creator, the great creator. And we are connected, and we are just as the vine has the branches connected to it. The Holy Spirit connects us to heaven. It is our avenue of communication goes from us to heaven and from heaven's heart to us. We saw throughout Scripture in the New Testament, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the synopsis of God Christ's life on earth. He was constantly in communication with the Father, and oft times it happened when he stole away to be alone, when he went to the garden, when he went out on the water, when he separated himself from the crowd. Because when we're in the midst of people, and we're in the midst of the disciples, as well as those that were seeking out of curiosity or desiring out of desperation, to understand and to hear and to receive what he had, it pulls on you. And you cannot continue in your own flesh when that is the ministry path that you are taking, that we are taking, because we are ministers of reconciliation. Christ walked throughout the earth reconciling man back to Jesus Christ. And so when they came, they were seeking, how do I get there? What do I do? what is this thing that he is talking about? How do I get connected to it? And so that is part of heaven downloading through Jesus Christ into the people. And that's what Holy Spirit does. He downloads from heaven, from Jesus Christ, from the throne of God, and he downloads it into our hearts. And as this download comes, it flows right from us into the ministry walk that God has assigned for us. So it's not for us, but it is so that we then are the vessels of honor on earth that God will use to reach people. And so as we do that selflessly. We do that surrendered to him and to his way. And the way that is maintained is that constant time of coming before him in your own closet, in your steal-away time, in your time of fellowship with him. And not that it should be a scheduled time, but it is a time that in every step we take, every walk we make, we need to be aware of the fact I must receive that a continuous, unlimited flow of the Holy Spirit through me and in me in order for me to flow and become what God has ordained me. It is the place, it is a time that must come, even with Christ. When he ministered, he would go, and when he would come back, there were times when scripture shared with us that the angels ministered to him, brought a refreshing to him. So it is a part of our lifestyle. It's a part of our walk that we must not abandon. We must not set it aside and put things in a greater priority. We must not have life try to I'm learning that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, it doesn't catch God by surprise. He has that power. And he asks us to, he invites us really to join in him with him. One of the overviews of this particular chapter is partner with God, partner with him. And so we want to make sure that at all times, in all things, this is what we do. I know the Lord shared at one of our Zoom meetings or whatever, when the screen freezes or the person isn't talking or you can't hear them, you know, we kind of go, oh, we can't hear you. No, pray. We have power. We have power over this and authority over those enemies that would keep us from the destiny of hearing what God has. And then make that the thing that brings us to our knees and invoke heaven's intervention, angelic intervention in things, because victory is ours. It's already won. It is already ours. And so in a lot of these instances, how the devil would like to frustrate our time together or our even the process in which we are oftentimes led to do things differently because the world has changed. But no matter what the world does, God is still in charge, and he is the one who has the power, and he has given us authority. We're learning about that on Thursday evening. He's given us this authority. What do we do with it? How do we handle the kind of authority that God has given us? And we are seeing in the sevenfold flow of the Spirit of God, we handle it through the surrender of our lives to the river of the Holy Spirit as he flows into us a truth and a knowledge in areas that we must allow to develop spiritually so that we can walk in that closeness with God. And so in Isaiah 11 and 2, which is the basis of this book, we're realizing that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is what the Lord says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And that these sevenfold spirits of God reveal the function of the Holy Spirit in the foundation of our fruitful and foundational. We can't have that joy and that excitement and the fruit develop in our life if we do not honor and release ourselves into the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. And we have read, we're coming to the end of this book, and so we read about the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that he placed upon us. He gave it to us. His Spirit, his anointing fell upon us when we embraced what he did in the earth realm, what he did on Calvary, what he did on that awesome resurrection morning. He rose in victory as a conqueror, and he gave that Spirit to us, the Spirit that was upon him as he walked the earth and did these miraculous things, had these truths and this wisdom that was set forth, that it made these scholars and those that were very versed in the Word of God, they were amazed at the knowledge and at the perception and the understanding that he was able to communicate. And this he received from the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of heaven being upon him. And he placed it then upon us, and which is why he said, you'll do these things and greater things, because he knew now that his Spirit was going to be upon the whole anointed body of Christ. The body, the church, was going to have this powerful Spirit of God upon them to do the things and greater things that he did when he walked on earth. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He profound the wise. He changed. He changed, as they say, the trajectory of the future of the world. He changed it for billions of people, because before the truth was not known. Now the truth is known, and condemnation comes to those who do not embrace the truth. And that is true for us as well. That is part of what has been assigned to upon us to do. And so as we of the Holy Spirit, these flows, these functions, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, excuse me, we realize that in so many, in every way, it's impossible to handle the Spirit of the Lord being upon us if we do not honor the function of the Holy Spirit. Honor and embrace, know and submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring the level of wisdom that only comes from heaven. And the only way it can be released on earth is if we will allow it to flow through us, not as our own, but as that which heaven is releasing on earth, acknowledging it, honoring the source. And by honoring the source, it means establishing the standard on earth. It's not going to come through us as we live anyway, as we live raggedy, as we even live stagnant, as we live in a place of, I want to say, self-righteous, not that we think ourselves as the scribes and Pharisees, but we're so in our tradition that we no longer acknowledge the source of the tradition. And so we have looked at these awesome, and it really is the kind of book that after we finish, we need to go back to the beginning and read it again. Read it again with the knowledge and the insight that the author first revealed, and then I believe we'll see even deeper and greater insight and revelation into what God was communicating to us. I love that there's a song that says, you are the voice, but we are the song. We are the song. And so understanding that what drives us, the rhythm of our life, comes from the voice, the breath of God, and acknowledging that, then whatever song comes forth from that, whatever melodious communication comes from that, it's coming from the voice. It's coming from God. It is not coming from us. We're just, as I think Pastor's word is, conduit, okay, for that flow to go from heaven through Holy Spirit and then through us into the earth realm. And that's that river that flows out of our belly, a river of the power and the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, is upon us. And as it is, it produces what only heaven has the power to produce, this knowledge, this wisdom, and this understanding, getting to know, you know, it's like getting to know you. And that sounds like such a trivia thing to say and to do. And yet, we cannot handle the things of God if we do not have an intimate understanding of who he is, an intimate understanding and an intimate knowledge of God. And so as that has led us to the spirit of knowledge, our chapter 14, we are really, I guess I get caught up in the opening of the chapter as he shared about the getting up in the morning at 5 o'clock to go to work and noticing that his truck needed oil, and how that just spoke to our time of refreshing, our time of receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The oil has always represented the Holy Spirit, and to realize that our truck, or his truck, could not, it needed it. And that's understanding that our spirit man needs the flow of the Holy Spirit. We must acknowledge that. We must seek him. We must embrace his ministry in our life so that we can feel of the refreshing that only he can bring. He said he felt at that point, because he was seeking that, he felt the tangible presence of the Lord. So just at every turn, it should be not just in a worship service or in a time of high praise, but in all of the moments, we should expect that tangible presence of the Lord. That's where he's taking us. That's where this the river of the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit is leading us to, as it flows through us and draws others to God. And so he said he looked up, and when he did, he saw the vastness of God. And that's what the spirit of knowledge is giving to us. It is releasing to us an understanding of the vastness of God. The spirit of knowledge is defined as an ability to see from God's perspective. It is a view of the Holy Spirit that most of us don't have. And but God is releasing the ability to know him above and beyond anything we read, learn, or hear about him in the natural. It is what he wants, that revealing to us the fullness of God. The knowledge, spirit of knowledge, it enables us to know God and bring us his ability to perceive, discern, and know truth without effort. To perceive, discern, and know truth without effort. A godly knowledge comes through revelation and not just through books. The very essence of the word of knowledge is to be deeply, deeply acquainted with him. It's deep. Deeply. Everything is L-Y because it is to the extreme of and the highest order that can be. And so these are the things that only heaven can release on earth. And they release it on earth through Holy Spirit into our life, that fullness of God, to be able to perceive the truth. We looked at the gifts last evening, and the gifts that were brought out of 2 Corinthians that were brought forth were the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in those giftings, it was the gift to perceive and to discern and to know the truth. But it says, without effort. So you know that it isn't you that are coming up to this understanding, but rather it is something you've received that's greater than you. And you acknowledge that. And you cannot, as a prophet said last night, you can't own it as your own. You have to acknowledge the ownership of it is heaven. And Christ has given us the authority to use it on earth because his spirit is upon us. And so why do we have a need even and discernment and knowing truth? To knowing truth, there's so many things that Scripture tells us in the end times that people will believe a lie before they'll believe the truth. There's so many things that you'll see and you'll know they're true. And everybody around is like, don't they see that? Well, know that you don't see it because of who you are. You see it because God has given you that perception through the power of the Holy Spirit and knowledge of him. And so it becomes effortless because you know him so well, because you have walked with him humbly. You have loved mercy and you've done justly as he has required. And because of that, as we grow closer and with deeper intimacy with him, we become so acquainted with now his ways because we are exposed to them on a regular basis, not just on a Sunday only or certain holidays or certain times in our lives when certain things happen, but on a good morning, Holy Spirit, every day, a good morning, Holy Spirit, all day long. Thank you as we communicate without ceasing with heaven because we need that, if they call it download, to know what is the next step I must take. We do not map out our lives, but we surrender them and we receive that blueprint that heaven has for us, and then we follow the blueprint of heaven as it relates to our life and our living. And so as a result, we're able to perceive what man cannot perceive because we see it from a God's eye view. We're in a different location. We're in a different proximity to the world. The world is seeing what's around them. We are looking down from the throne of God, and we see the full picture. And because we're in this flow of the Holy Spirit and we have this connection, then this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding has been released to us. And so we recognize things that the earth cannot even see. It even says that some of these things, the enemy can't see them because they do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to give them this discernment and this knowledge and this perception. Perception is everything. It is how you perceive, how you judge a thing to be. You can perceive that something is dangerous. You can perceive that something may be happy. as you perceive a thing. That's how you function in your life. That's how you make your decisions, based on your perception of what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you are knowing on a natural level. You make your decisions in life based on your perception. And so if you perceive, as the spies did when they went to spy out the land, that their perception was, I see giants. I see an enemy that's greater than me, and we can't do it. That was their perception. But you had two men who were looking from a different vantage point, because they were looking from the side and the eyes and standing in the place where God had lifted them up, and all they saw was big fruit that would really be good and would really last, and this is awesome. So two different perspectives of the same thing. One brought a whole nation. It brought the whole nation, because of a perception of some spies. It brought them into a cycle that was downward. But the perception of the other two brought them into a new land. And so where life was releasing the power and the promises of God because of the perception that those two spies had. And so that's just how different we can go and look at a thing. And someone say, oh, my, they see distress, they see trouble. And someone else can look at it and can see opportunity. They can see the glory of God. They can see the power of God. And they believe in the promises of God that's going to transform whatever we see. He says, I will make it all work to your good. Now, I can't see it with my eyes, but I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to see it with my spirit, because I'm to have the faith to believe that what I don't see, and that I will see. So you don't see it now, but you will see it. So that's a different perception, a different eye view of a thing. A child walking through a crowd with holding the hand of their parents, all they're seeing is thighs and butts and stomachs and feet. Parents is seeing over that crowd. So they don't see that being drowned by people coming at them. They see they're making a way, and they see the path that they're making it to. But that child that's down, they don't see that. But they're trusting, which is why they're holding that parent's hand, and that parent is holding their hand, because they know that where they're looking, where they're seeing, they can bring that child to that safe place, to that predetermined place of what they want. And so perception, as they say, is everything. And so if we do not have the perception of God, we can't even handle the gifts that God gives us. We cannot handle the blessings that God gives us if we don't have the proper perspective, if we do not have the discernment of a thing. And it's like, and I know we can look and you can discern the enemy, or you can discern the evil spirit, but you also need to have discernment of what the will of God is for that thing, because it may not be what I would project it should be. But God has idea and intent for it. Well, you will know the intent of God as you walk in this intimate place with God, because Holy Spirit is going to release to you the presence and the will of God. That's the will of God. I know what he intends. This is his will for my life. So I see that because of the perception. Apostle is coming over.
So our both perspectives, we always have different perspectives.
Yes.
So I thought that illustration was perfect. Mm-hmm. So our both perspectives needed, it's the negative perspective of I see downwards or enemies needed, mm-hmm. so that the godly perspective or the so that the other perspective can emerge up out of the shine light.
Well, I think that if you, we are given, not if, when we are given God's perspective, it is up to us to communicate that to those that don't have it.
That's it.
So,
both of those God's perspective. Yeah, it's not, that is a giant thing.
Can the apostle
but I got
get closer?
The sign that,
nope, she can't get closer, but, you know.
No, I guess
our both perspectives.
God's perspective, but the assignment for what you do with what he should.
Yes, go ahead. No, and I hear what you're saying. No, I hear what she's saying is both perspectives necessary.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is the thing. God don't mind competition.
No,
because both perspectives. One is the perspective of man, okay. You're entitled to that perspective, but you don't have to stay there. You can also know that's one way of looking at it. You know, and so the spies could truly have said, yeah, that's one way to look at it, but isn't that what causes you to then look beyond yourself to someone else? Because that's what I can do, or I can't do.
Did I see it that way because it wasn't I needed to see it that way because that's not my assignment to even think I'm released to do what the other spies were sent in, like, yeah, that's what y'all saw, but this is what we saw. So I needed that to stay in my lane, but you needed that to be in your lane to go do whatever your assignment was over there.
I believe that what Apostle is saying, weren't both perceptions necessary? And again, I look at that as now we know the nature of God. He is not one that will lord it over us and not only allow one way. He always gives us an option and a choice. There is a way, and then there is his way. And he leaves that to us and encourages us, choose my way. You're going to have a lot of perspectives that you're going to see. But you must come to a place of intimacy enough with me to desire to choose my way. Now, true enough, they were giants. There were that was giants standing in front of the king's army, and that was the king's perspective. They were giants. That was the soldiers' perspective. They were giants, but that wasn't the song says, that wasn't the end of the story. They had an option. They did not choose it. They only saw their own eyesight. Now, was that necessary so that David could come in, or did David come in because it was necessary? Okay. That's a perspective. However, I believe that what we see in moments like these are that God is merciful, because even with a wrong perspective, you can still be blessed. As he said, I'll make it all work to your good. Okay? And so, no. And so,
we can't make one perspective better than the other.
Well, you know what? Honestly, God's perspective is always going
to
be the best one. That's just bottom line. That's the end of the story. And so I believe that any perspective that we have on a natural level, any perspective we have on a natural level, I'm not going to say it's a sin, but I'm going to say it's a sin if we stay with that perspective when there is an option to have a God perspective. So there may be some kids in Africa, their only perspective is, and I don't even believe that. Actually, what I was going to say, their only perspective, you know, is oppression and poverty and lack. That's a perception that we have. They there don't look at it that way. They are happy individuals because it's something more that they know that we don't see. And that's what this whole relationship of intimacy with God, there's more to the story than what the natural eye sees. And the natural
He's greater than all of that that we see.
Yes.
His plan is going to always glorify him.
Absolutely.
Those giants mean nothing.
Yes.
God is greater
Jesus. Amen.
As the saint, as you said, is perceptive to see his will, his way.
Absolutely.
You pass it on to those.
That's
that
it. That's how the kingdom of heaven comes on earth, through me. Because through me, y'all going to get God's perspective. So you're going to walk around saying, well, you know, this is hard. I'm going to know it isn't. Because the truth is, God said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that don't say nothing about hard. Easy and light. That's not hard. He said the way of a sinner is hard. So, you know, what are you struggling with? And that's nothing wrong with that. Know that if it's hard, I'm struggling with something, God show me what it is so that I can release it. And so that I can, because I'm understanding from a God's eye view, I'm understanding from a, what do they call it, a proximity to God, there's more to this than meets my eye. But God's eye sees it. And he sends that information to me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to seek the wisdom from the Holy Spirit, the understanding from the Holy Spirit. Then I'm going to get the might from the Holy Spirit. That's the power to now stand in a place and have a quiet confidence that God's going to do this thing through his power. My power won't work. He strengthens my inner man with the kata power, that KR power, and so that the inner man can be quieted, and then he gives me his dunamis power, which brings confidence because I know he bad.
Right.
Ain't nothing greater than he is. And so this is what we get from the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might, and the spirit of power, the spirit of understanding. And so when we have this, and you can have it, and you can try to share it with someone else, they can't see it. They can't. Then we have to understand its proximity. I got it without effort, but it wasn't because of me. It was because he flowed through me, and I grabbed it as it went through, if you will, and it started transforming my thinking and my mind. So now I'm thinking, okay, that's what he says. You know, have your mind, you know, don't take them out of the world. You know, leave them in the world, but they're not of the world. Oh, so that's what you're saying. So all of that is a perspective that for some people doesn't make sense because they don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to manifest this truth. He says to know the truth. And so there's a truth that some people just don't know. And when you share it with them, they can't see it. You know, you wonder why some things even go to trial. It's like, did you not see what they did? They said they did that. So, yeah. You know, what's the deal? Right. But they're thinking there's another truth. No, there may be other excuses, but are they true? You know, and then are these other truths, are they to circumvent what the law says? What reality is? I took my glasses on. I can't see the writing. So we're just having a wonderful, actually, in person experience here, which is really glorious, glorious, glorious. And so, questions, comments, insights, revelations. Oh, I had to take y'all off mute. Sorry, y'all could have been trying to say something. Remember, I had to put everybody in on mute because.
I wonder why
you're
so quiet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they can hear.
Okay.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, there we go. So you're all on speakers. If there's questions, comments, insights, you wanna share? You can do it now.
I'm not exactly sure where you are now.
Say that again.
I'm not exactly sure where you are in the chapter, ma'am.
Okay,
I'm not
in
exactly
the chapter.
Sure.
I'm at holy magnification. Living as an overcomer.
I got it. Magnification.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't hear a problem that well. So, but I think I got it.
Yeah, she was sharing something actually that was an offshoot of what we went through last night. So, you know, like, what are y'all talking about? Okay. Yep.
But I think I got this.
Hey, man, I'm getting a lot of static. Somebody's phone.
I don't think it's mine.
No, it's not yours. I got it now, I think. Okay.
Yeah, I think I got it. As far as the perception and example I was of the giant and the size sent out by Joshua, I think I understand as far as how David saw the situation and how the others saw the situation. It was from my understanding, they was looking at it and naturally, but David was looking at it spiritually. So as far as his God was concerned, he was looking at the giant. And his God was concerned, and the other ones was looking at it from a natural eye, from what they saw, the size of the giant.
Exactly. And, David, now, and I think
and
that
his weapon. That he chose to use.
Yes. And another thing I want us to glean from David's life is remember David often was by himself with the sheep. So he had a closer fellowship also. And I need us to just kind of, and it may be hard for a lot of people, maybe you don't know what it's like. I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. You may not fully realize what it's like to keep sheep out in the open field under the vastness of the sky and the stars and the moon. You're able to witness some of the vastness of God and to realize he is the creator of those things. So David's life was always being refreshed because of his proximity to God. He was alone, first of all. So there weren't any, a lot of clattering voices in his ear. They weren't people fear he was feeding off of. So he had to be the fearless one because he was the protector of the sheep. And so he understood that he couldn't do it in his own strength. And that's why some of his victories were so profound, because as a young boy, a bear and a lion, I mean, these are things that he had overcome. So he had this experience with the proximity to God that the soldiers didn't have. And so as a result, they didn't have that kind of knowledge or perspective. They couldn't have it because their life had not been given to that type of journey that David was. And it was for a reason, because David prepared to be a king. He was being prepared to start an eternal, what do they call it? I want to say it's not a diocese. Oh, what do you call it? Dynasty, okay, that would never end. And so his preparation had to be in proximity to the only one that could fulfill that eternal dynasty through his life. And so as a result, that's where he stood. Now, everything he did then brought authenticity to David's proximity to God, okay, because it brought into the life of people, they saw the power of God through the life of David, whether it was the power of sin and then forgiveness, the power of leadership, the power of being a warrior, and a power of being a planner, a power of being a preparer. He prepared all of the necessary resources to build the temple. So there were many things that were going to have to be accomplished through David's life. So David had to be in this close proximity to God. And this is what God is telling us today. This group, these people, anytime he's making this available, he said, well, maybe this isn't for some people, maybe it isn't, or maybe it isn't for some people in this season, or maybe it was for them and they refused. There's all kind of maybes, but the fact is that God says he calls us to come up hither. He knocks and asks us to open the door. He is available. He is nigh unto us, and he desires us to be close to him. And so he paid the ultimate for that to happen, and that was giving his son. And so the Holy Spirit and the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and of knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, it magnifies God. When the spirit of knowledge is released, it enlarges our ability to comprehend the vastness of God. And that's something that is impossible without the Holy Spirit because of the vastness that I shared last night. Even the word vast doesn't have a proper definition, only because as it relates to God, because he cannot be defined. And if we look at a couple of scriptures, it says the only way you are going to know the breadth, the depth, the length, the width of God, in other words, because they don't stop. Any of those five different measurements can't take you to the end of God, nor can it take you to the beginning, because no matter where you are, he is. No matter where you were, he was and he is. No matter where you're going, he there and will be. And so it's like you can't comprehend that with your mind. You cannot, because our minds would be like the computer does not compute, or worse, you get in a loop and it's overload. You know, that loop is almost like a virus because it put more into the database of the computer than the mind, the computer is able to process. And that's the vastness of God. Our minds are not able to process the breadth, the width, the depth, and the length of God. And the author shares that in this, the last very profound scripture that I definitely want us to get to. And that's Philippians 3, 8 through 10. Now, it's given to us. Is that the one? Here it is. Here it is. I think it is. We're gonna do that. Yeah, part is the partnering. And so if you get it, you have it in the voice or the Philippians message. Philippians what? Philippians 3, 8 through 10. In the voice or message. I'm sorry?
Not even close to the message.
Oh, right. No. So the other one, we really have it, but I just, in that voice of the message, it's usually so different that I would like for us to be able to read that. I don't have my Bible thing on my computer. But the author shares some very powerful scriptures that actually we're going to do them all, because I just want to make sure that it's a part of the the presentation, just as it was a part of his lesson, because it's very profound and it is necessary. And so under the holy magnification of the Holy Spirit that brings us out of 2 Peter 1, 2, and 4. Okay, well, that comes near the end. Hold on. So out of 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. All things. So we see several things just happening here. Grace and peace, these are the deep things of God. Remember, we looked in the beginning of the lesson, and it shared the fact that that it's a place of deep calling to deep and actually receiving the deep things of God. Well, the deep things of God, one of the deep things, and we don't want to just read scripture. We want to be able to understand it. So when it says it'll reveal the deep, what are the deep things of God? And that was the question I had in the margin. And I think the first one he showed me was one of the deep things of God is holiness. That's deep. That's really deep. That's holiness. And that's something that we cannot do anything with God without holiness being the core of it. And holiness is his way and his way only, his standard and his standard only. Holiness is a deep thing of God, and most people, most Christians, do not understand that. When there was a sacrifice without a blot or a blemish, out of blot or a blemish, we have read it over and over. You don't know what those people had to do to examine those sacrifices. Even a piece of hair that was the wrong color was a spot or a blemish. And so that's how intense the holiness of God, and that's just on such a level that gets us to kind of get a view of it, but it really doesn't give us the total view of it until his son comes. And without sin at all, ever, ever. And he says that is how we should live. I remember my grandmother used to say that, and I used to say, oh, please, Grandma, you know. And most Christians would tell you that. Oh, I could try, but no, I can't live sinless. Then you're calling God a liar because he says you can. And so that deep thing of God, and we'll get, and he'll bring us to a place where we understand that. We have a spiritual understanding because the Holy Spirit will reveal, yes, there is that place. And yes, you have been invited to stand in it. That's that place where you're in the cleft of God and you are viewing him, not his acts, but the creator of the acts. I think the acts, A-C-T-X. And so that peace be multiplied unto you. These deep things, grace, talked about grace, the gift of that come from grace, your grace to do something. You're given the anointing of the grace of an office. And it is such a powerful thing, such a powerful thing. We did the grip of grace. We did that book, and that was just incredible revelation of that word grace, G-R-A-C-E, powerful, powerful word. And it is a deep thing of God. And at peace, that's another thing that there's just not a word to, because it says peace that surpasses understanding. So this is a peace. You can't even understand this peace. It goes so beyond our understanding of what peace is. But all of that, then multiply it to you. That's how God does. He don't just give you a deep thing. He give it to you, and it be multiplied to you as your knowledge of him and his son increases. So the more we have received and embraced the spirit of knowledge, then these deep things are going to be multiplied into our life, And when they are multiplied into our life, they will magnify who God is. That's what it says. Oh, magnify with me the Lord. What does that mean? We say it, you know, let's make his name grand. Are you kidding? We can't make his name anything. We can only acknowledge that it is and surrender to it and let it flow through us. Okay? The grandness of his name flow through us. So we weren't learning the names of God so that we could be proficient in knowing how many names of God and how many we could pronounce in Hebrew and Greek and any other thing. We were learning it because they were a part of him. They were a part of him. That's that gifting that goes into us. That's that power, that dunamis, that's the one, yep. That's that dunamis power that's released in us to accomplish his will, to accomplish his intent in the earth realm. And it says, as divine power has given to us all things. Okay, divinely means those things that have nothing to do with earth and the natural. These are all supernatural. You know, the supernatural results. This is all supernatural power that is given, and that power, the power has given it to us already. The power is Jesus Christ. And the his name is power. His blood is power. And it has given to us everything. It says, now we won't say everything. He said all things. All things that pertain to God, to do anything to do with life and godliness, we got it. So now that tells you, if the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, and Jesus lived a sinless life, then that same Spirit is upon us. And that's the life we are called to live. And now we're called to do it, then we're giving us everything we need so that it can happen, okay? So it's everything, it says, through the knowledge of him. So once you get to know who he really is, then you know he really has done this. And you understand that it really is yours. It says, who called us by glory and virtue. Those are two words, again, that we use it, glory to the Lord. Do we understand what glory means? Do we understand what glory means? When they put it in the Word of God. Okay, these were men and were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is us by glory and virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is the, oh, really? Okay, is the character. Guess we're going to be in this chapter for another week. The virtue. It said, by which has been given to us as exceedingly great. So there's that L-Y. It's not just exceeding. It's exceedingly, and it is great. And precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That is a powerful scripture, and it also tells you the intent of God for our life. That's it. That's his intent for us, to be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is the nature of Jesus Christ. The divine nature is the Spirit of the Lord upon us, with the power of heaven backing it and accomplishing it, and the promises of God bringing it to pass in your life. And so it is, time is out for this particular session. Elder Roberta, and she's got the scripture for us, so we will let her read that scripture, and then we're going to marinate on that scripture for next week. Okay, Elder?
Okay. And the message starts with the seventh verse. You say eight. What is it, 8 through 10? Okay. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to end on that because that's very, and we do, we want to meditate on the power of that scripture to bring about an understanding of the spirit of knowledge and what it is to accomplish, how it is to be treasured, what kind of deep thing it is releasing from heaven. And remember, it's deep because it is a cherished thing. It's something that heaven honors it. It has glory there. It has a reputation of perfection there. And so it's being released to individuals who have said yes and have surrendered and have opened up their spirits to be taught, and they have a hunger for truth that will free them from this thinking, this earthly thinking. And really, this earthly thinking is a prison. When we think based on the natural, then God is sharing with us that for saints is a prison. And I know we felt before the prison was sin, and it was. But now the prison for those who are saints is thinking with a mind that is not regenerated in Christ-likeness. It is thinking with carnal thoughts. And often we say carnal thoughts, we think of those as negative, sinful, lustful thoughts. But it really, that's really what it is. And that's really how we really think. Because it's lustful, because it runs after the flesh. It doesn't run after the spirit. Very rarely does our thinking run hard after the spiritual. We mostly succumb to the natural because, hey, you know, there it is. And honestly, it's easy. It's probably all our little strength can do, but that's why we're given this power, this credit power, so that the inner man will be stronger, so that he can run and not faint. He can run and not be weary. You know, he will mount up because after you, if you keep up, if you think of an airplane as it's going down that runway, if it slows down, it's not coming up off the ground. But if it continues to go, just go, I don't care how much it shakes and vibrates and how it's fighting gravity, don't stop. Because if you don't stop, all of a sudden, your feet will not be on the ground any longer. You'll be living in the supernatural. And that's a powerful place to take off in. It's a rough start. Not hard. Remember, I didn't say hard. It's rough. It may be bumpy, boobity, 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 based on what resistance we allow to encompass us. You know, otherwise, you know, go through just, you know, eyes closed when I think that's why people throw their hands up in the air when they come down on a roller coaster. It's like, get to the place, you know, there ain't nothing else I can do but throw my hands up and say, Lord, you know, yeah. And I would say, Lord, here I come. But they just throw it up and go, whatever happens, I can't stop it. You're right. You're in the throes of gravity, and you coming down, okay? And so the other is true. You're in the throes of the Holy Spirit, and you're going up. And nothing else, nothing can change that. And so we just have to be in a position where we are ready for this lift up. It ain't even a takeoff. It's a lifting up. He lifts us up just as the gardener does to the vine that has dropped on the ground and is encompassed with dirt and mud, and the leaves are causing the plant to die and to get disease. And the gardener comes and lifts it up. He lifts it up, and he upgirds it. He upgirds it. He don't tell the plant, okay, now grow straight. No, he lifts it up. He attaches it to a thing that will help support it while it continues to grow higher and higher, fuller and richer with the fruit of the Spirit. So on that note, any comments, insights, revelations? Oh, Apostle said, and we save them all for next week. Hallelujah. All right, so just pray for a safe trip for Overseer and her family on their way back home, I guess home, well, on their way back to Chicago anyway.
Enjoy the scenery.
Absolutely. The vastness of the Lord is definitely revealed when you travel. So I just thank God for that and for my family. So be blessed. Yeah. Enjoy the journey. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Travel.
All right.
Amen.
Thank
you.
Amen.
Amen. Travel.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
All right.
Okay. All right.